This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Mom and Dickie.
We thank God for the opportunity that we are having church regardless of the weather. And just like we had church regardless of COVID, and we are having church regardless of the weather. But we thank God because this is just a one Sunday thing. And by next Sunday, we'll be back in church live, you know, meeting each other and hugging each other and those warm feeling again and sharing refreshment. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. So we bless God for the opportunity that we still have church, as Dad said and as MC has said throughout the service. So I want to appreciate God for that. I want to thank the Father of the House for the privilege of sharing his altar or his pulpit with us. Amen. And we appreciate God for that. And I always say, he's the one that's called. He's the one that has the mantle. He is the one. The glimpses that we have that God avails to use us in different capacity, it's a privilege, and we thank God for that. And we're going to go right into the Word, and we're trusting God that everything that the Holy Spirit intends for each one of us, we will not miss it, including myself. That this message is not just for you. It's not just for someone that you know. It's not just for a brother or a sister, but it's for me. Amen. Hallelujah. And as the title say, Barakah. And that's actually a Hebrew word. We've had the scripture readings already. Amen. So that is a Hebrew word for blessing. Okay. The blessing, to be precise. Now, generally, when we talk about the blessing is what we all like, what we all hope for, what we all wish for, what we all desire in whatever form. In whatever way, whether spiritually or physically or socially, you know, the social systems that we live in also acknowledges blessing. And because it's such a broad thing, so there's no way you can do justice to talking about the blessing within 30 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour, or quite frankly, even in several hours, in my opinion, you would take longer because there are different facets of blessing, different angles of the blessing that the Holy Spirit would at each point in time reveal to you. And so today we'll just stay with what the Holy Spirit revealed for the now. Amen? For the now. And then as you take this word back home with you, maybe the Holy Spirit will begin to unveil other fragments and other aspects of the blessing to you. And so I encourage you to be open to the Word of God, even when you go back home, so that you'll be able to maximize what the Holy Spirit is really depositing in us. Amen. So the blessing is far more than just a good fortune. It's far beyond just a wish for something good or good achievement or good health. It's far beyond that. The blessing, it forms the foundation of the promises of God in a believer's life. And the blessing is tangible. It's a tangible force. okay? When John 6:63 says, the words that I speak to you, you know, when he is saying that it is the Spirit who gives life, and then the latter part of that verse says, the words that I have spoken to you, which is the truth, the word that I speak to you, this truth word, is life and is Spirit. And so the blessing has a life and has a Spirit, and it, because it is the Word of God, and because it possesses life and power and force, therefore it has such a very strong or high capacity for efficacy. So the blessing, when it is spoken or when it is given or when it is taken or when it is referred to in Scripture, comes with such a great efficacy and capacity to accomplish that which it is meant for. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where is my little mouse? Okay. Amen. So, and majorly speaking, from the historical and cultural perspective, in the Hebrew culture, like I said earlier, the word baraka, it's a Hebrew word, a Hebrew translation. So from the Hebrew context, there are two main blessings, which is the priestly blessing and the rabbinic blessing. And the rabbinic blessing is the kind of blessing that goes into different aspects. But the priestly blessing is one of the main blessings. And that is the one that we are so familiar with, you know, that the leader or the minister or the pope or the priest will pronounce over the people, and rightly so, because that was the order in which it is being done in the Bible days. This blessing, the priestly blessing, is actually a direct command and direct words as dictated from God to Moses, that to bless them and say this: the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance towards you, or lift up his face towards you and give you his peace. And this peace is the shalom, which is a wholeness, a completeness of everything that you have. And the blessing, the priestly blessing, it's important and is central in the Jewish culture because it is an invocation of not only the protection and the favor of God upon his people, but it is also as a binding seal that connects the two entities, the man and the God, the people and the God, the Israelites to their God. It connects them to their God. And it says, now they belong to God, and then God would bless them. Now, in that time also, there is a general belief as though the blessing carries such power that is almost magical. But they do understand, a lot of the Jewish rabbis understand, that the blessing in itself, even though it's powerful, but if you remove God from the blessing in itself, the blessing might not necessarily function. And that is why it is key that when it might not function to capacity, but once it is connected with God, because that was what the Jew, according to the Jewish scriptures, that was what God told Moses. The priest will place God's name over them, and then God will bless them. So at this very point, I just want to just kind of bring to this discuss or introduce to this discuss the idea of a blessing that is not rooted and foundation from Christ, from God, or that's not connected with God, then there is a problem with that kind of blessing. That blessing might not be tangible. That blessing might not be lasting. That blessing might not carry the efficacy that is supposed to carry, especially in the spirit realm. Amen. And then that moves us over to the next blessing. Like I said, historically in the Jewish culture, there's these two main blessings, the priestly blessing, which is Berech Kohanim, that is the Kohites, the priest descendants, and then the rabbinic blessing, which is the Barakat. And this Barakat now goes into different aspects. And the original idea of the Barakat, the word Barakat, is derived from one of the words Lerik in Jewish, which is to actually kneel in reverence before God. And that is where this rabbinic blessing come from. It is a blessing, the kind of blessing where it acknowledges God. It acknowledges God in everything, every aspect of life. It acknowledges God in every sphere of life, not just as the giver of all good things. That is primarily what it does, but not only that, but it also including God in every aspect of life. And in fact, the Talmud are the writings of the rabbis. The Talmud teaches that a Jew is actually forbidden from getting profits or attaining any profits without saying the Barakat. A Jew is forbidden from starting any work, however blissful that might be, is forbidden from doing that without acknowledging God as the giver of that thing, God as the supreme owner. So every blessing, include even the Abrahamic blessing, which is also part of the rabbinic blessing, including blessings of food, okay, which we practice every day. Before we receive our food, we give a blessing, okay? And actually, after we eat, at that time, after we eat, which we don't do now, but after we eat, there is a blessing. We are supposed to praise God, yes? Deuteronomy 8:10 says, after you have eaten and are satisfied, praise God. So there is a blessing for giving thanks. And when God does spectacular things, when we see the wonders of God display in nature, when we see the wonders of God, when we see healing, when we see deliverance during festive periods, when God grants us the ability to see another year, we are supposed to give a barakat. And all of these barakats, they start with one thing, because that is the core foundation of the blessing of the barakat. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God and the King and the supreme owner of the universe. It acknowledges God in every aspect of the blessing. And friends, today, many of us, we find ourselves when we enter into blessing, or when we experience the blessedness of God, we find ourselves acknowledging our achievements, our efforts, our brilliance, and sometimes maybe we attribute it to our backgrounds and our family lineage. We acknowledge that. instead of acknowledging the Lord our God, the King and the Maker of universe, the one who made you and I, every blessing that does not acknowledge Him in whatever form it comes, every blessing that does not acknowledge God in this form is not the kind of blessing that will last. It's not the kind of blessing that will bring about the glorification of God's name. While everybody may enjoy the same blessing, the same thing, for example, the blessing of the rain, for example, the blessing of good health, both believers and non-believers alike might enjoy that privilege. But what sets the blessing of the believer is the fact that it is connected to God and the fact that it acknowledges God. And that is why, from the biblical concept, every other blessings come under the blessing. That is why it is referred to one thing. It is not whether the blessing of healing, the blessing of peace or protection or whatever. They are not. It is by our own human classification where we separated them that way. But in reality, it is a whole package. It is a whole name. You know, like often when we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it is the whole thing. So that's how the blessing, it is the wholeness of what God has for His people. And this blessing, when Jesus came, now these ideas that we were familiar with was in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, now He began to unveil one after the other this layers of this barakat, what it entails, even before the culmination of everything at the cross. Because at the cross, we see the extent of the barakat, that the extent of binding man to God, man to his creator, which is what Jesus accomplished on the cross. But before then, before He even went to the cross, Jesus now introduced layer by layer the fragments of the barakat in the beatitude, through that beautiful beatitude that we know, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:3-12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now Jesus came to redefine the concept of blessing from material things, from physical things that you can touch, you can feel, to a more tangible, realistic, spiritually realistic and lasting concept, which is what we do not easily see. We cannot easily feel with our human minds, with our human emotions, with our human touch. And He says, when you are grieving, you are blessed. When you are humble, you are blessed. When you are desperately seeking for God and seeking to do His will, you are blessed. When He said, when you are facing tribulations and challenges, then you are blessed. Jesus comes to introduce a whole new layer, or unveil the whole new layer of the barakah that is so unfamiliar to us. And when he did that, now he went to the cross, and the culmination of all that unveiling was at the cross, where Jesus, you know, the priest, the Bible says Jesus is the priest, right? Our priest. And he now went to the cross, and he now pronounced that barakat, the barakat kohanim, that is the priestly blessing over us. He invoked God's name over creation. And now he binds us through his blood, binds us to God, so that now we belong to God. And now God is bounded by his word, because he says, when you place my name upon the people, then I will bless you. And honey, if you belong to Christ, if you are named by the name of the Lord, then you and I are partakers of this blessing. Not just a physical blessing, not just a blessing of wanting things or seeing physical things, but a blessing that lasts for eternity to come. A blessing that the human heart might not fully comprehend. A blessing that our intellect might not understand, but only the rhythms of our spirit can understand, because it has its origin from the realm of the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are with me, can you just say a hallelujah? Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. Just to know that I am not alone. Amen. And one thing I want to buttress here, or I want to note here about the blessings, is that the blessing is a permanent seal. At least we see that from scriptures. When God blesses, the blessing is irrevocable. The blessing cannot be reversed. We see that not just in Numbers, when Barak came and said, when Barak asked Balaam to go and curse, to help him go and curse the Israelites. And Balaam said, I cannot curse those whom God has blessed. I have received a command. I cannot curse them because these people are blessed. The blessing is irrevocable. And we see that also in the case of Jacob and Esau, when even though Jacob deceptively walked his way into getting this blessing, but by the time Esau showed up and Esau said, you know, Dad, it's me. And the father said, but I have given the blessing. And he said, is there nothing left for me? That the blessing cannot be revoked. And you know, he now began to say some other things. But because the main blessing had been given to Jacob, he said, I have made him head over you. I have blessed him, and it cannot be undone. Now, it's sad sometimes that this same scripture, sometimes we use it to think that because the seal of God, the seal of the blessings of God upon us is permanent and irrevocable, thereby we can live our life anyhow we want. And I don't want to go into once saved, always saved. No, I don't want to include that into this discuss this afternoon. But just the fact that we think that because the blessing is permanent, it's the permanent seal and is irrevocable, thereby we can live our lives however we want, in whatever way we want, is a fallacy. It's a fallacy. Galatians 5:13 says, you have been free, but you do not use your freedom to engage in sinful lifestyle. You have been set free, and the blessing is permanent. But you and I do not have the license to live carelessly and casually and dishonoring God, and presume that we will see the efficacy of that blessing in our lives. And then if that was the case, then no wonder a lot of us are not experiencing the efficacy of that blessing, because maybe we have not been living according to the will, original will of God as part of that blessing. It is permanent. The blessing is like, you know, the Father and the Son. And the Father who leaves an inheritance, an incredible inheritance for his Son. And then the inheritance is there. And it's always going to be for the Son. But unless the Son chooses to acknowledge himself, acknowledge his sonship to that Father, he will not enter into the privilege of partaking into that permanent blessing that is being kept to him. Even in the social world, a child who has a will from the father of great wealth and property, they can decide to forego it. And they can decide they don't want to have anything to do with it. And so long as they don't want to have an affinity with their father, then they are not able to maximize that blessing. However, that blessing is there because it is a permanent seal. The fatherhood is there. God remains our father regardless. He remains our father regardless. But we have the tendency to relegate the efficacy of the blessing that is upon us by the virtue of our bonding and our connection with God through our choices and our attitude. And therefore, obedience now be a key factor in attaining this permanent, irrevocable blessing that is upon us. By obedience, we enter into the promise and the blessings of God, and we enjoy it. Amen. And we'll now want to look at some of the hindrances to this blessing. While many of us desire blessings, and many of us pray for it all the time, many of us wish for it, many of us claim it over and over again in words, in singing, in prayers. Abraham, blessings are mine. I'm blessed in the morning, in the noon, in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. That is true. But there are still things that hinder us back, that hinder us from seeing the maximum capacity of this blessings. These are just few that I believe was laid in my heart that I picked up. And then when you do your own research and your own reading through scriptures, you could come up with so many other hindrances. Or when you look at your own life, because this is what the Holy Spirit ministered to me, and I took a look at my life, and I see that these are some of the things that at one point in time, have showed up and have proven to be some sort of a hindrance to me partaking in the fullness of the blessings of God. And now, I will now go into details of, I particularly chopped up the aspect of the details of the blessings, entering into those blessings, because those of you that were around on the midweek service, the person who shared, I believe that was Aniso, He talked about that, the blessedness that God has given us everything, and how we get, how we enter into it in different aspects of our lives. Through the simple day-to-day decisions and actions that we take to bring about that blessedness or the fulfillment of that blessedness in our lives. And that's why we encourage people to join the midweek service, be intentional, and try to free up as much as possible, and free up your Wednesday so that you can join that. So I took off that complete chunk of that portion out of this discuss today because that was dealt with on Wednesday. And so I just want to focus on this, and I believe, God, that we will be done as soon as we are done with this point. Amen. So the hindrances to blessings, or seeing the manifestation of the blessing, is number one, unbelief. Unbelief. And unbelief has been a thing that's been around for a very, very long time. Unbelief has always been there through generations. And people enter into the blessing or the promise through belief in what was said and what was given. Now, if you do not believe the word, then on what basis do you stand to claim these promises? So unbelief has always been a key in receiving or experiencing the blessing in the life of the believer. If you do not believe what he says, believe his words, if you do not believe his promises and hold firm unto them, and trust that he is faithful, he who says he will do it. If you do not believe that he says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, if you do not believe that his word says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, that he will deliver him from them all, if you do not believe that he says, I am the Lord who healeth thee, if you do not believe in these words that God said, and you do not place faith in that word, then unbelief, your doubts and fear are closely connected to unbelief. And they are a huge hindrance in a believer's life of enjoying the extent of the barakah, of the blessing of God. Matthew 13:58, and he did not do many works of power. Speaking of Jesus, Jesus did not do many works of power there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith. That is even Jesus himself, while he was there, because of their unbelief. That is to say how much of an effect unbelief has on the promise. Jesus himself is there, yet because of unbelief, he could not do any works of power there because of their unbelief. So unbelief is number one. Amen. And we see that even in the lives of the Israelites. Because of unbelief, a lot of them could not enter into the promised land, because they didn't believe him who said that he will take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. They didn't believe that he is faithful to do it. Because of the troubles they were facing, when they began to face the challenges in the wilderness, the lack of water, when they began to face those battles in the wilderness, those nations in the wilderness. In fact, right from the Red Sea, when they began to see the Red Sea, they began to waver in unbelief. And scripture says many of them died without reaching the promised land. The second thing is ignorance. ignorance. Because of ignorance, a lot of us are not enjoying the privileges of the blessings of God that He has bestowed upon us. Ignorant. We are either ignorant of the blessings, or we are ignorant that we have such provision already. I heard a man of God once said that some people will arrive heaven and will discover that their rooms, their storerooms of blessings, are still intact with many unclaimed blessings, because they were unaware that that healing that they had so much wanted on earth, that it was there for them. That provision, that thing that they so much wanted, even that revival that they so much wanted, that restoration that they so much wanted, it's there for them. But they did not partake of it. A story is being told of a man who boarded an aircraft for the very first time, and he was on a long journey from Africa all the way to Europe, and that was several hours. And he was in the aircraft, and they were being food was being served, a refreshment was being served, and over again, the air hostess kept coming to ask him if he would like some food, and he kept saying no. And it wasn't until at the end of the journey, when the people who came to pick him up, and he said, "I am so hungry. You know, that 11-hour flight was so long. I am so hungry." And to their amazement, they said, "Weren't you offered food in the aircraft?" He said, "I was offered food over and over again. They came with so many good things, but I had no money to pay for it." And the people were like, "What? But it was paid for with your flight ticket." And many of us, it's been paid for. The blessing has been paid for by the cross. When Christ hung on the cross, the complete barakah, the complete blessing was what was purchased, what He paid for. So not just the seat, but the ticket, the drinks as well, the food as well. But sometimes ignorance prevents us from enjoying that privilege. Another thing about ignorance is that sometimes, because the blessings come in an unfamiliar way. Now, this is typical because Jesus' concept of that, you know how I mentioned Jesus came and unveiled this concept of blessing as was being known in the Old Testament. And He came to the New Testament and unveiled it. And you see that the spiritual contrast of this blessing. Oftentimes, God might choose to bring this blessing through the spiritual reality, the spiritual concept, and He brings it up to us. And to us, the spiritual concept doesn't look like the physical, familiar blessedness that we know. In other words, when we feel we are undermined and treated in an unjust way, when we feel we are being persecuted and humiliated, when we think we are in suffering and grieving and sorrowing, we don't see that any blessedness in it. But this is what Jesus said, that blessed are you when you go through these things. And so because it do not match our physical concept of blessing, then we miss it. We miss the blessing. Ignorance. Number three is arrogance. Arrogance. And sometimes, quite frankly, we are full of arrogance or arrogant, whatever it is. Because we feel that we have achieved so much in our human domain. We have read the Bible so well. We have known about prayer so much. So we have achieve academically so much, and so nothing else can anybody tell us that we do not know. Arrogance. And so even when God brings blessings to us because of arrogance, we miss it. Maybe it's a simple advice that someone that you have so looked down on, that you have felt they were so insignificant. Maybe it's a brother that always seemed unspiritual. Maybe a brother that you have always looked down on. And he has that one word, and God has put one word in his mouth that can change the trajectory of your destiny or the decision that you want to make in a certain aspect. And that brother, one word from that brother could have changed everything. But you are so full of yourself in arrogance and boastful and thinking, no, what can he tell me? Oh, what other advice can this person give me? What help can this person offer me? It's just like, again, that son that father has that inheritance for. And that son, out of ignorance, says, you know what? I know that inheritance is for me. I know it's got my name on it, but I don't need it. I don't need that. And these are some of the kind of people that Jesus was talking about when he gave the parable of the talent. And he says, if you know that I am such a shrewd master, why didn't you even take that talent and put it in the bank so that I can get it with usury, with interest? If you feel you are so full and you don't need all that treasure and all that inheritance that your father leave for you, well, why not take it and give it to the needy? Why not be a blessing and bless others? But arrogance. And James said, you are boasting on your achievements and what you have and what you know or what you have stored up for yourself. But you have no idea what will happen tomorrow. You have no idea of what your life may turn out tomorrow. So do not be puffed up. Do not be puffed up. Amen. Arrogance. And in scripture, there is quite a bit of that. Quite a bit of arrogance. Countless examples. A blessing, people who miss the blessings because of arrogance. And then the big chunk is disobedience. And this one, without mentioning it, I think everybody can agree with me that disobedience is one key factor in the blessing. That was why I mentioned that while the blessing itself is irrevocable, but disobedience will hinder the working of the blessing. In fact, disobedience seems to have a capacity or a capability of overriding the blessing with a curse. While the blessing is permanent, but disobedience overrides it with curse, because that's what is spoken of in Deuteronomy 28. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed to the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your beast, the increase of your cattle and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you, before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse, and all that, in all of these blessings, all of these blessings, it's a beautiful, sometimes I just pray these blessings. I just read the scripture instead of praying. I just read this blessing. And right after that, right after this blessing, if you go down from verse 15 downwards in the same chapter, but if you do not obey, then curse shall be your basket. Curse shall be the fruit of your womb. Curse shall be, it's like the curses are overriding the blessing. Disobedience. A lot of us find it so hard to obey. Not in every aspect, but even in some particular aspects that God is speaking. And somehow we feel, because I have obeyed in A, B, and C, therefore my disobedience in D, E, F, and all the way to Z shouldn't be counted. Unfortunately, that's not how God works. God desired that we obey Him. We obey Him even in trusting in His promises. We obey the words He says. We obey the commands He gives. And all His commands are for our benefit and for our own blessing. Obedience prevents us from entering into the fullness of God's blessing. And this brings me to my last point for the discuss today, bitterness. A bitterness comes in different shades, forms, and color. Bitterness towards God, because when we see things, or when we see things going wrong in our lives, somehow God seems to be the first person we blame. When we don't get answers as we had planned them or as we anticipated them, the first person we blame is God. God. And we are not different from the Israelites. They did the same thing. They exhibited the same thing. They blame God. Primarily, they blame God. Of course, they grumble and murmur against Moses and Aaron, but they blame God. Their bitterness was towards God. When God allow our loved one to pass away, we blame Him. We become bitter. Why would God do this? Can't you see that I'm still in school? Why would God allow me to lose my mom? Why would God allow this bad thing to happen to me? We become bitter. And bitterness takes our eyes and our minds and our emotions off our own rebelliousness, off our own disobedience. And it just focuses on what we did not get. Bitterness. And it happens over and over and over in scriptures. Bitter towards God. And then bitter towards people. Even Miriam and Aaron, at a point, they were bitter at Moses. They were bitter at Moses. Because it's like, are you the only one who knows? You know, are you the only one that can hear from God? Are you the only one? They were bitter at Moses. And then we see an interesting story. Ahithophel. That was the counselor to Moses. In fact, the Talmud teaches that Ahithophel's bitterness stemmed up from jealousy when he wanted what David has, the throne. And so he became bitter because of jealousy. And he tried to walk against him and went and started giving counsel to Absalom and all that. And bitterness, sometimes we're bitter. Why is he the only one getting scholarship? Or why is she the only one being blessed? Why is he the one getting the good job? Why is she the only one being asked by the pastor to do this? How come they are the only ones being blessed? How come they are the only one passing? How come he's the only one getting the scholarship? And then bitterness, just out of jealousy. And then another form of bitterness, another face of bitterness is when we are serving. And we are serving with grumbling and then bitterness. Because, you know, grumbling is the manifestation of bitterness, is the outward display of bitterness. Grumbling. You are serving, but there is grumbling and bitterness. Oh, they're asking us to go to church again. Oh, we're having a meeting today again. Oh, today is this again. Oh, there's this again. Oh, I have to help my parent again. Oh, I have to help my brother again. Oh, this is happening again. Bitterness. And once there is bitterness, we are not able to experience the blessing. Now, because of the bitterness in Ahithophel, and Ahithophel was believed to have been like the man who hears from God, even though he was not a prophet, but his counsel was, they describe it as though it was God's own word speaking. And he was so held in such a high esteem that everything Ahithophel wanted, King David will not have denied him in any way. So I don't know in what form your own bitterness is showing up. But friends, if you allow it, it's going to be a hindrance, a major hindrance in seeing the efficacy of the blessedness. And that is why in Ephesians, Apostle Paul says, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Amen. Hallelujah. And finally, I leave us with these two final scriptures, which are the blessing. I want us to reflect on these blessings each time we speak these blessings over us. Let's remember that it is not a desire or a wish for good fortune. It's way beyond that. We are saying, Lord, I am bonded to you. Lord, I give myself, I covenant myself to you. And therefore, I belong to you. And now you are my God. And now you bless me. Because that is his nature. That is what he has promised to do. That is what he says he will do. And the next time the blessing is being pronounced over you, open your heart and receive it. And receive it with the entirety of your heart as the blessedness, the completeness of God's word. And every time a barakat is being said over you, every time you go about your daily activities in life, begin to acknowledge God as the author and the finisher of your faith. And watch the blessing unveil in your life. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And may he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner. The land God gave to Abraham. God bless you. As we bow our heads to just say a quick prayer as the pastor comes and take over. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you because I know that I am mere mortal. And I might not have said this word in its extent, in the extent of its power and its efficacy. I might not have said it in the extent of its accuracy. But I thank you because your word is sharper than any double-edged sword. It goes beyond my flaws and beyond my limitations, and it's able to penetrate through the bone and the marrow, and it's able to give each one of us a portion of that which you want us to receive today. And we thank you because this word has gone beyond, and it will accomplish that which you have proposed because of your covenant of love and your blessing over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.